My headache won't go away.
I get blurry vision.
My balance is awful.
I'm exhausted.
We can all get these symptoms from time to time. But if you or a loved one notice you're getting a combination of them regularly, don't ignore it. They could be signs of a brain tumour.
My headache won't go away.
I get blurry vision.
My balance is awful.
I'm exhausted.
To learn more about the common signs of a brain tumour, search Better Safe Than Tumour.
Welcome to Let's Talk About Brain Tumours, the podcast where we'll be talking to people who've been affected by a brain tumour diagnosis, either their own diagnosis or the diagnosis of a loved one. We'll also be sharing news and updates from the Brain Tumour Charity about what we're doing to halve the harm and double survival. Hello and welcome to the podcast. In this episode, myself and Andy are going to be talking to our guest, Katie, about Gamma Knife, which also goes by the name of stereotactic radiotherapy. So welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Katie, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, what your history is with brain tumours and how you come to be here today?
Yes, so I was diagnosed back in 2016 with a meningioma, and I was told that it was going to have to be removed pretty rapidly just because of the location and the size of it. So I had a craniotomy a few months later. And after surgery, I was told they'd have to leave a bit of residual tumour because it had attached to a blood vessel. And so I was given sort of 6 monthly scans just to keep an eye on it. And for the next few years, everything was stable. And then I'd say the beginning of 2020, my neurosurgeon just let me know that there'd been quite a lot of growth in a short period of time. And he suggested Gamma Knife. So I would say about 5 months after that, I had the Gamma Knife. And I've seen really positive outcome from that. So it stabilised the tumour and it's also reduced in size by a few millimetres, which is great.
And I remember when you first were told about it and you were like, you know, what is it? Because everybody, you know, I've read all these things online, some really scary things. And it's one of the reasons that I thought about doing this episode, because I remember you saying there wasn't a lot of information out there and some of the information that you'd come across was, to put it bluntly, quite dodgy.
Yes, I made the mistake of sort of looking at personal blogs and sort of websites that were very NHS-based or charity-based. So I heard kind of misinformation. So some people mentioned an actual knife when in fact it's radiotherapy, there's no knife involved. And that was quite off-putting. And I looked for some other sites and I just didn't really find reliable sort of information. So with hindsight, I wouldn't have looked at those sites. I would have just focused on kind of brain tumour charity side, so the NHS websites, the individual sort of hospital sites, just for more information.
And I'm going to hand over to Andy to give his insight on what actually Gamma Knife or stereotactic radiotherapy actually is. Andy, do you want to kind of break that down?
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. And for those who don't know me, I had a large meningioma diagnosed 2017, large enough that they had to take it out straight away with via craniotomy. Then I had regular annual scans, and then in January this year they discovered some regrowth, which thankfully they said is just from a bit that was left behind. So after I'd been all clear for about 3.5 years, for some reason, we'll probably never know, it decided to regrow. So I had my treatment in March this year. And we'll talk a bit more about the treatment itself later on. Suffice to say, I've had a good outcome so far. So, yeah, when I was told about stereotactic radiosurgery, stereotactic radiotherapy, Gamma Knife, I've even found a term, specially configured linear accelerators. Exactly. And I thought, what does that all mean? And the way
it's no wonder people don't know what it means when it's got all these different names.
I know, and cyber knife as well, or gamma knife, people go, oh, does that mean they're cutting into your head again? And no, it doesn't. So what it is it's they have sort of a low-level radiation, which in itself cannot do any harm to your brain or anything around the brain. And then they have two streams of that radiation, and where their streams cross, they combine to cause enough radiation to effectively kill the cells exactly at the point and only at the point where the beams collide. So I don't know if you remember the original Ghostbusters and they said, don't cross the beams. That's effectively what they're doing with sort of, if we call it gamma knife. So it doesn't do any harm to any part of your brain, healthy, except the point where it crosses. So that's why they quite like to use gamma knife. I was told it's in a small tumor that's clearly bounded. So you can clearly see the edge of it and it's small enough. And by small, I was told below about 3 centimeters. They liked to use this treatment because they can target it exactly where the tumor is, just to kill off the tumor cells and leave the rest of the brain intact and untouched. And because they're not actually opening up your skull, it's a lot less traumatic for the patient.
And this is exactly why it was good for you, wasn't it, Katie? Because your tumor is wrapped around that nerve, that any damage to that nerve could have had quite significant impacts on you.
Yes, because they did mention about surgery, but they said it was so high risk with all blood vessels, nerves involved. Mm. Whereas, as Andy said, it's just so targeted with the gamma knife, they're just seeing the safe option. So that's why I went for it.
Do you want to tell us a bit about your treatment, Katie? And then I'll tell you about mine and we'll see if it's the same. Before you start, I was treated in Southampton, just so if people are wondering where we got treated.
Yes, I was treated at Queen's Square in London. And because it was the middle of 2020, I was told that things would be slightly different, so I couldn't have a friend or family member with me. And they just kind of explained that to me beforehand, so I sort of knew that no one could come with me. Then I turned up on the day. I'd been given lots of information beforehand, so my neurosurgeon rung me up, kind of talked me through the whole day, which was really reassuring, because then when I turned up in the morning, I sort of knew what was going to happen. And I spoke to a nurse. She kind of explained how the day would go. My doctor came in as well, just to reiterate a few points. Then what happened is I had the frame fitted, which was the part I was most nervous about. But there were 2 nurses in there. There was a doctor. Yeah. They were so efficient. It was so slick, the whole process. I didn't really have time to worry.
What is the mask sort of thing? Because that does sound quite scary when you say have a mask fitted. What does that mean?
Yes. So it can look scary. So when I saw it, it's sort of like a metal contraption almost. And it's attached to your head at sort of 4 sides. But then once it's actually attached, I didn't find it too bad. I think it looks a lot worse than it actually is. So
did you have an MRI before that day as well, just to make sure that they knew exactly where they were going to sort of target the radiation?
Yes, yeah, so we actually had an MRI after they'd fitted the frame.
Ah, okay. On the same day?
On the same day, yes. Yeah. That's what happened. So, yes, they fitted the frame. They left me for about 15 minutes just to get used to it, had a drink, make sure I was all right. Then I was taken for an MRI with the frame on, which was actually much more straightforward than I thought. I had a sort of pillow behind my head. People constantly talking to me at the radiographers to make sure I was all right. I was in there for about 30 minutes. Then I came out, I was taken back to my room, and then I was told there'd be a lot of treatment planning, so I could kind of sit back for a while, maybe like an hour. I just watched a bit of TV and this sort of thing.
Okay. That sort of frame isn't over your face as such. It's just sort of connected to the part of the brain, of the head that they're going to go to the target.
Exactly, yeah. So it doesn't cover your whole face or anything like that. I did have to take my glasses off. I sort of knew that would happen, so it didn't really come as a shock or anything.
So it's not like the traditional radiotherapy mask that you have to go and get fitted and things like that?
No, so it kind of comes down from 2 points in my forehead and then at the back as well. But there's a whole area so you can see out of it. You can still eat and everything, drink.
Oh, that's good.
Which is good. And then after that, I was taken through to the treatment room for my radiotherapy or the gamma knife. And that involved lying on a table, being kind of fitted to this sort of head support. So the frame sort of fitted within it. And it was good because I could still speak to everybody, all the medical team. They could speak to me, make sure I was all right. And it took about 45 minutes in all the whole treatment. So not as long as I thought. I just had a bit of a snooze. So
that's reassuring to know.
And it was just the one treatment that you had, yeah?
Just the one, yes.
Oh, that's good. What roughly what size was your tumour, just so that, you know, for the people? Because I've heard some people say they need maybe 2 or 3 treatments. I think both of us just had the one.
Yes, it was interesting for me because they said it was 2.9 centimetres, so the upper limit of what they could deal with. And they said they're going to do all the scans and then they'll come back with a decision, because on the day, I didn't know 100% if I was going to have the treatment. It all depended on the scans. So they wanted to get the most up-to-date scans. And then they said, yes, one treatment would be the most suitable for me.
Oh, that might be reassuring for others as well, to know that even when you're at the sort of the upper size limit, it's still one treatment.
Yes, exactly.
Mine was slightly different. I've got my, I know this is a podcast, but I'll show you that. That's my sort of mask. So mine was a traditional plastic mask. So my treatment, so I had to go in about 2 weeks before my actual, I called it zapping day for want of a better word, but the day that I was actually zapped yet. They fitted the mask. So that it's an interesting process. So there's about three or four nurses, and they get the warm mask and they press it into your face, and they leave it to set for half an hour. So obviously glasses off, and that a little bit claustrophobic. But then they're just chatting away, and you can just about talk through it if you know what I mean. But it is right tight to the face. The other good thing is they said, "What music do you want?" So I had some. It's very electronic dance music. So they said, "Oh, I've not heard this one before. We normally have ABBA." Okay, they might have learned something. And I was, if I'm honest, and that was half an hour, and I was starting to get quite claustrophobic. But then I just said, "Oh, could you just chat to me?" And we ended up chatting, because it's about March-ish time, about the storms, and they were talking about the storms and problems with the fences being blown down. And by the time I was chatting with them about that, I'd almost forgotten where I was. So that was fitted. And then a week later, probably the worst thing for me, because I'm not a massive fan of MRIs, and we've done a podcast on scanxiety about that and how you can cope. But it was about a 35-minute MRI, you know, one-shot MRI. And that was a challenge, because normally the 15 to 20-minute ones can be a bit interesting. But again, you know, they said, right, have the music. I think I was in one of their best scanners as well. So good having music. So I picked an album that was 42 minutes long, thinking, right, just listen to that. So I had the MRI, and that was what they said is a very, very detailed cut. And that's where they get the exact location for it. I didn't need my mask on, interestingly, for that, which is a relief. And then about a week later, I went back in for the treatment. So like you said, it looked like a brand new facility. I was on my own, because in those days there was still sort of COVID, so my wife waited outside, but that was fine. And you go in, and then you lie on the table, and they put the mask on. You think, well, this isn't too bad. And then they actually clamp the mask to the table, and you're thinking, oh, this isn't so good. Right, don't panic, you can breathe. But again, you know, they're chatting to you, they're there all the time. In my one, they said, oh, we're having problems loading Windows up. So we had about a 5-minute delay while they're getting the computers to talk. And I'm thinking, oh, that's encouraging. But the actual treatment itself was only about 35 minutes. And mine, where there were five sort of zaps of about 2.5 to 3 minutes. And in between, when they don't move the lasers as such, they move the table. So they tilt the table and sort of move the table around. So you're lying there and you're sort of, they're talking to you throughout the whole process. So the actual, you know, by the time you get it done, you're thinking, is that it? And I was thinking, I wonder if the machines were actually switched on, because I didn't feel a thing. They said you might feel a warm sensation where it's being treated, but absolutely nothing, not a job. So I was actually thinking, it wasn't until about a week later when part of my hair fell out, about the size of a couple of 50p pieces, I thought, oh, at least this machines are switched on. The treatment itself, you know, the worst bit almost for me was the MRI. The actual zapping itself was, like you say, you're lying there, you're just thinking about anything you want to think about, and you don't feel a thing. So
did you feel anything when you were actually on the table? Did you feel it when you were having the...
Yes. So interestingly, I did feel the air of my head, sort of on the left side, get a bit warmer, but it only lasted for about 4 or 5 minutes. And I did just mention it to them. They said it's completely normal, nothing to worry about. And then it quickly disappeared. So, yeah, nothing to be concerned about.
I wonder if it's because mine, I should have said at the start, mine was 1.4 centimetres by 8 centimetres, 0.8 centimetres. So about the size of a grape, I guess. So that it was near the surface, but yeah, didn't feel a thing. It was
brilliant, yes.
Which again was reassuring.
Yeah.
So what about your recovery, Katie? Were you did you feel anything afterwards in terms of the, sort of the days following?
So after I had the mask removed, not the mask, the frame, I did feel a bit of sickness, but I was told that's completely normal. I was given some anti-sickness meds to take for a few days. And then after that, I just had a couple of headaches the next sort of week and a bit of tiredness.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I didn't really notice much else.
And did this all happen in one day for both of you? Did you just go in for the day and then have the treatment and go home, or did you have to stay overnight?
Just the day.
Yeah, same for me. I was literally walked over to the place, had the zapping, came out afterwards, walked back to the car and drove home. Well, my wife drove home, but yeah, so just went back. It was quite surreal. It was a bit like having an MRI, in fact, when you go in, you have the MRI, and then after you just sort of, you know, you go home again. It was, again, the feeling of having it or thinking of having it done or having it done, that sense is reassuring me because you a little bit of discomfort, but other than that, it's amazing, I thought.
I felt exactly the same way. So suddenly it was all over, and I just went out, went to the car, my parents drove me home, and that was it. So it just felt like an MRI of an appointment, really.
Did it leave any marks on you where they detached the frame, just out of interest?
Yes, they're the four pin sites, so two at the front of my head and two at the back. And I was told it would take about 2 weeks for them to sort of scab over and then to kind of drop off eventually. And I was given some plasters, some antiseptic as well, just to deal with them, and told to look out for any swelling or that sort of thing. But no, I had no issues with that. It just sort of healed and that was it. So
that's good. And did you have any steroids at all? Were you given any steroids?
Yes, I was given dexamethasone for, I think it's 5 days, just to help with a bit of swelling. What about you?
Yeah, mine was dex as well, and it was just 3 days beforehand.
Mm.
So it was 3 days beforehand and very, very low dosage.
Yes, yeah.
So it didn't, when I had my craniotomy in 2017, I was on high doses of dex for about 4 or 5 weeks, and that was surreal. Because
you don't sleep,
you're hungry all the time, you're agitated. And when they said, right, you need to go on dex again, I'm thinking, oh, here we go. But it literally was, I think it was just the 3 days beforehand, low doses. I wouldn't have known I was on them. So I didn't have any problem sleeping, no midnight nibbles and all that kind of stuff. My face didn't blow up like a football. Should have said that, which it did 5 years ago. So again, if anyone's worried about that, I think it depends on your type of treatment, because I have heard other people saying they're on it for 5 days, and then it takes a couple of days afterwards to sort of, you have to wean yourself off, don't you?
Yes, that was it. So I was on it for the 5 days after, and then I was told how to wean myself off, and if there's any issues, I could just contact them directly. So that was really helpful.
Yeah, so that's something else. Again, if people hear about that, it's for us, and I've heard other people say that, it's not really that big an issue.
Mm.
I think it's more preventative, because it does prevent some swelling.
Exactly.
And I was told that the tumour itself, because it's being irradiated and warmed up, it might swell a little bit, which is what they're worrying, that it might then slightly impact on the brain around it, which is why you have the steroids to minimise the effect of that. So it really doesn't impact on the brain at all around it.
Yes, yeah, as I was told as well.
Okay, so, and just again for others, I had, I think for about a week afterwards, it felt like I was more fatigued. So a bit more tired, a bit more fatigued. So, and by that, I mean, you know, the mental energy you have was even less. So you have to be really mindful. So if anyone is having it done, try not to plan anything for the sort of the week afterwards.
And I think that's a good thing to mention, isn't it? Because you come back, by the sound of it, you kind of go for it. It's minimally evasive on you physically, so people could look at you after you've come out of it and think, oh, you're fine, it was nothing, because you know, you look, you haven't got a great big scar from surgery, or to look at you, you probably look absolutely fine, like you've just been to the dentist or something, and it's not like been a big deal. But actually, you do need to protect yourself and put boundaries in place for that bit of recovery time.
Yeah, because I was also told to drink quite a lot, because I said, what happens to the tumor, where does it go, sort of thing. And again, they said it depends on the individual and where the tumor is, but typically they'll get reabsorbed into the brain. So as the tumour cells die off, and they won't all die off immediately, it can take a few weeks to die off, they'll get reabsorbed into the brain, which I thought, okay. So it kind of answered the question. And what they did say was, for the next week or so after your treatment, drink even more than usual. I think anyone with a brain tumour, we drink for England anyway, or sorry, whatever country you're in. So I was told, yeah, to drink a little bit more. And I didn't have any headaches at all, not one.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I was also told that it may all go, or you may still have some like scar tissue left. They did, I'll be honest, they did say there's a small chance of an increased risk of seizures, because the scar tissue that's left can give you another sort of route for electronic signals to go through. I think they had to tell you that. You said, I was told 9 times out of 10, it's you know, perfectly successful, works, and you don't even notice that you've had it. So, and that was the case for me. So after about a week after I had it, I was literally back to exactly where I was before. Unlike my first craniotomy, with, I don't know how long you took, Katie, to recover, but mine was about 8 months probably to get back to work and full time and all those sorts of things. This literally within a week, I was no problems at all. And the only thing I did feel was fatigue. I don't know how you felt.
Same as you. After my craniotomy, my recovery was 6 months to a year. And when I went back to work, I was still exhausted, fatigued. Whereas with this, I only really noticed a few sort of side effects of the week after. And then I was just going back to my normal routine. And so, yeah, I'd recommend that anybody just takes it easy for the first week and then see how they get on. So.
And how long after you've had the treatment are they able to tell you that it's worked? Can they tell you that straight away? Like, can they look at, you know, straight away and say it's worked? Or is there a period of time, obviously, because of the swelling and stuff, that they've got to give you before they can say, yes, the treatment has definitely shrunk the tumour?
So I first had an MRI 3 months after, and there was no increase in size. So they said it stabilised it, which is brilliant. And then sort of 6 months after that, that was when I was told it had shrunk by 2 millimetres, which is pretty significant, because I was just expecting it to have stabilised. Well, that's the desired outcome, but no, it's actually shrunk, which is brilliant.
Oh, good. Yeah, mine was, I had to wait 3 months. And the reason for that is because you can get some mild swelling around the site again because of it being heated and because of what was being done. So waited 3 months, had the scan. And then this time I actually, because we talked about scanxiety as well before, I already arranged the appointment to go actually in to see the sort of the neurosurgeon team as soon as my scan results were ready. So that was about a week after the MRI itself. So that, again, it's about just over 3 months after treatment. And I went in to see him and he said, in my case, he said, it looks like a good outcome. And he showed me the before and after scans on the sort of on his screen. You could see the after one, it was about 2/3 the size of it was before.
Wow.
And he said, that looks like it's a good outcome. So now I'll have another scan in six, well, it was 6 months after the 3 month scan, if that makes sense. You haven't had three months, then for me, it was another 6 months. So I'll have that one probably December, Jan time. And he said, that's probably the one where we'll be able to say categorically it's worked, because it should have either all disappeared or just be only some minor scar tissue left. At the moment, it's like, it's sort of a cautiously optimistic, is that the right term? So it could have been worse, but he said, yeah, it looks like you're going to get a good outcome. And then I'll have 6 monthly MRIs for a couple of years and then back onto the annual MRIs, assuming that everything has progressed as he's expecting it to progress. The downside of that, so you don't actually know, is like Katie said, till about 6 to 9 months after the treatment, kind of whether it's worked. Unless you're having symptoms, but usually this, I don't know if Katie's saying, mine was so small, I didn't have any symptoms of it. It was only when they said in my annual MRI, you've got some regrowth. I was like, really? It's the first I knew of it. But, you know, much rather this than having the surgery and going through all that pain and then the surgeon saying, yeah, I think I've got it all now.
And you can have this as many times as you need it, can't you? It's not like, oh, you've had it once, now we can't do that treatment again. It's something that they can do if there was any regrowth or a period of time in the future where you were in this situation again. Because like you said, Katie, you've still got part of your tumour there that potentially might grow at some point, hopefully not, but.
Yes, so that's what I was told. In the instance that it does decide to grow again, I can have gamma knife again. So I think that's just very reassuring to know, especially as I had such a good result with it the first time, minimal side effects. I'd much rather go for that as opposed to surgery. So,
yeah, same for me. He basically said it might become, for someone like myself, it might now become a sort of common occurrence every 2 or 3 years. You get some regrowth from around the edge. They don't know what starts the regrowth, but he said if that happens again, you know, because you're having periodic MRIs, we'll spot it early, and you just come in and have gamma knife again. So there's no real limit to it, which is, again, for me, it's reassuring, because for me the seal is broken in the sense I've had some regrowth, which is always like, I hope I never get some regrowth. Now I've had it, actually, yeah, touch wood, it wasn't too bad. And the treatment itself, I wouldn't relish it, because it is a little bit claustrophobic and a bit discomforting. However, if that's what it takes every 3 or 4 years, then, you know, happy days. So, yeah, I think to answer your question, so you can have it as within reason as often as you like. Mm-hmm. And again, out of interest, I didn't say mine's a grade 2 meningioma, or was. So they don't actually know whether the regrowth is grade 2 because they don't take it out, if that makes sense. However, they said from the size of it in the location and the speed at which it was growing, they said it's the grade 2. And as long as it stays grade 2, he said, we'll always find it before it gets anywhere near. And then if the radiotherapy or radiosurgery isn't appropriate, there's still chemo, there's still other radiation, and ultimately there's still surgery. So it's quite nice to know this is like the first line of defense. So, Kate, what would you sort of your advice be to others that have been told they need gamma knife? What would you say to them?
I would say ask your doctor as many questions as possible, and don't be afraid to sort of email them if you've got any concerns or you just want to know something. I think it's much better to do that as opposed to wait till the day, then you might just feel a bit more worried. So just get everything out of the way beforehand. Because I wanted to know about sort of eating and drinking on the day. You know, it seems quite minor compared to other things, but just the fact that I was told actually you can still drink, I just felt better equipped to kind of deal with the day. So just, yeah, keep in contact with the medical team and just keep speaking to them.
Yeah, I'd be the same. And I was given a clinical nurse specialist. I think it was basically person that was my point of contact, which ironically I didn't have when I was having my surgery 5 years ago. So that's an improvement.
I was going to say, yeah, that's a difference.
It is, yeah, that's good. And she was really good, because I could email her and she'd get back within, if not straight away, but within a couple of days. There was even a phone number there. She was very good at explaining it all. You got some leaflets as well, just explain what it was and the aftermath. And she was really good. So that's what I would suggest, is if you're told about you need it, first of all, don't worry about it, in the sense of it's not the experience that we've had and others I've spoken to, that it is not as nowhere near as traumatic as surgery, and certainly isn't anything to be feared. But like I say, just ask questions, ask about it. No questions too daft. Like I say, I mean, should I ask about food on the day? No, ask about food on the day, because it's part of the whole experience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And also just not to fear it, but and also plan what you're going to do with your mask, because I was given mine. They said, do you want to take your mask home? I said, well, do you want to keep it in case I need it again? And they said, no, if you ever need, you know, gamma knife again, you go through the whole process from the start, because your face might have changed.
I guess because it's so specific, it's so targeted, that they can't afford to have even a millimetre in the wrong place.
Absolutely, even a fraction of a millimetre. So it seems a lot to go through and to have the masks staring at me. But other people, I'm told, have painted theirs orange and use it on Halloween and things like that. And they're good plant holders, apparently, because they've got good drainage. But anyway, did you keep your sort of frame at all, Katie, or did you not want it?
So they kept hold of it. I took a selfie, though, sent it to all my friends and family.
Yeah.
It's interesting to get their feedback. Someone was saying, oh, you know, that looks quite heavy, looks quite painful. And I had to say, actually, no. once it was attached within 10 minutes, it was fine. It wasn't particularly heavy. So
you did send me a picture. I remember getting a picture. You had an actual surgical mask, like face mask, because it was.
Oh, yes.
So you actually said at the time that your COVID, that your normal COVID face mask that everyone was wearing was actually worse than the actual.
Yeah. So, it was a relief to get it off, though, but definitely not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that's good. And did you have any hair loss at all?
So the pin sites at the back, there were two of them. I noticed a bit of hair loss there, but it grew back within a few months. So Okay. Nothing noticeable.
Yeah, because I was told because mine was, I don't know if it is because it was near the surface, I guess, because there was the radiation crossovers, they said it might have killed off some of the follicles over the site. So I'm scratching my head for the people who can't see this. I can't talk about it without instinctively reaching to it. But again, so that was about 250p pieces worth, and it sort of the hairs fell out about two or three days later, but within about a month it had all grown back. So you look at me now, you wouldn't know there's anything there. No. So again, if for reassurance, if you do have any hair loss, it's only very temporary and it grows back afterwards. So any last thoughts, Kate, if someone's having it done, in terms of realistically, what would you sort of say to them?
I would say trust the medical advice. If your doctor's recommending it, there's a good reason for it. And on the day as well, I found it so helpful to have a bit of a distraction. So that for me just involved watching a few videos, a few TV programs. But the staff are brilliant. They'll talk you through everything. And if you've got any questions, either before the treatment or during, definitely ask them.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I think I'd say the same. The staff, I mean, again, I was treated at Southampton. The staff there were just fantastic. And I also, the time when I was waiting down there, I got the feeling that I was on a bit of a production line, that this is it's a fairly common procedure. So there's nothing novel or new, or I was told, and I think it's the same, there's nothing really risky about it. Obviously depends where your tumor is and how big it is, but the treatment itself, there's virtually no risk. So if for me it was reassuring to see other people going through what I'm going through, and they're all like, yeah, you know, some have been here before, you're almost thinking, well, why am I getting worried, because this is just a fairly common low risk procedure. You know, almost like having an MRI or even going to the dentist or things like that. So, you know, don't worry about it. Obviously everyone's different and different people have different outcomes, and I know that some people get more than one treatment, so I've heard of people getting two or three, but no more than that. Typically it is one sort of treatment session of about 35 to 40 minutes, so I wouldn't quite say enjoy it, but certainly don't fear it.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you guys. I think, you know, we've covered everything, and I think that people are going to find this really, really helpful, especially as there's not an awful lot of information about it. So hearing from both of you your experiences of it and the outcomes that you've had with it, and I think that will reassure a lot of people. So thank you both very much. Thank you, Katie, for taking your time to be here today.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to sort of hopefully put other people's mind at rest.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. If you'd like more information, you can visit our website at thebraintumorcharity.org or email our support team at support@thebraintumorcharity.org. And finally, before you go, if you enjoyed this podcast, please can you leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, so we can reach more people and raise more awareness.
I'm Tamsin, and I work in the individual giving team at the Brain Tumour Charity. Thank you for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with a brain tumour and are worried about your finances, the Brain Tumour Charity's Benefits and Money Advice Clinic, run in partnership with Citizens Advice, is here to help you. Our expert advisors can help you access the financial support you're entitled to, as well as give advice on how to make the most of your money. To make an appointment with our Benefits and Money Advice Clinic, visit our website at thebraintumorcharity.org/money or call our support team on 0808 800 0004.